Welcome back, everybody. Laszlo Montgomery here with you for a third time this season, bringing you another golden oldie and well-known favorite of many a lover of Luo Guanzhong's 14th century novel, Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Anyone who read that book is surely familiar with this story behind today's Chinese saying, Tao Yuan Jie Yi. Now, before I get into the story, let me mansplain these four characters. Tao Yuan Jie Yi. A Tao Yuan is a peach garden. Tao is peach and Yuan is a garden. A Jie is a knot or to tie or to weave something. And it also means to settle or conclude some matter. And Yi means about a dozen things, relationship, friendship, justice among them. But a Jie Yi means to become sworn brothers. I suppose it can just as well mean sworn sisters, but our story that goes along with these four characters, Tao Yuan Jie Yi, concerns three men. So, without further ado, let's get to this great story that serves as yet another magnificent shining star in the galaxy of Chinese culture. Without dredging up the whole sorry ending of the Han Dynasty, suffice to say, by the early 3rd century AD, incompetence, a collection of unsavory characters in the imperial government, combined with a terrible famine and peasant unrest, stirred up massive discontent among the common folk, and those are often the essential ingredients for fomenting rebellion. Three brothers from Julu raised a peasant force that grew into 500,000 rebels from all over eastern China. This sizable army was recognizable by the yellow headcloths or turbans they wore, and they had proclaimed, "The mandate of heaven has passed from the Han. The time of the yellow turbans is at hand." And in popular Chinese history, this yellow turban rebellion ended up being the proverbial final straw, the final nail in the coffin that led to the extinction of the Eastern Han. In a prefecture called Yuzhou, today's Liaoning province, and a bit of northern Hebei, there came news that the yellow turbans were approaching. The prefect of Yuzhou hastily summoned the marshal of his army. The marshal told the prefect, "Our forces are few, and the yellow turbans are many. The speediest way of raising an army is to put out notices summoning men to our cause." Well, following this advice, the prefect immediately had recruitment notices posted far and wide throughout Yuzhou. One such notice was posted in Zhuo County, today's area around Baoding, Hebei province. A heroic-looking man stood before the notice and sighed deeply. He was a man of few words, fond of reading, calm and generous in temperament, and stoic of countenance. He was a great-hearted man who especially loved to meet and befriend other heroes of the land. Believe it or not, he was 7 feet tall, with earlobes that touched his shoulders and arms that reached past his knees. His face was like white jade, and his lips like red rouge. He belonged to a fallen branch of the Han imperial family, and his lineage of the Liu family had sunk into poverty in Zhuo County some time ago, and his name was Liu Bei. Losing his father as a child, Liu Bei had been brought up in a very simple way by his mother and now scraped out a living by weaving straw mats and sandals. As a boy, Liu Bei had lived in a house underneath a magnificent mulberry tree whose splendid canopy could be seen for many miles around. The people nearby would whisper to each other, "That household under the mulberry tree is sure to produce nobility." Well, one day, as the child Liu Bei was playing with the other children of the neighborhood, his uncle happened to pass by and heard Liu Bei say, "When I am emperor, I will ride a carriage with a canopy just like that mulberry tree." And from then on, his uncle knew that Liu Bei would grow up to be no ordinary man. And for this reason, though he was of small means, he supported Liu Bei and his mother whenever he could. When Liu Bei was 15, his mother sent him to travel throughout China and to study, and he became friends with many wise and accomplished men on his journey. In the year the prefect of Yuzhou put out notices seeking men for his army, Liu Bei was 28 years old. And when he had read the notice fully, He gave a great sigh. Suddenly, he heard a loud voice from behind, sternly saying, "And why does a hero like you heave sighs instead of going to serve his country?" Liu Bei turned around to look at this person who had just accosted him. And this man, no kidding, was 8 feet tall, with 2-foot-long sideburns. He had a head like a leopard, whiskers like a tiger, a voice like thunder, and a posture like a racehorse. Liu Bei saw at a glance that he was extraordinary and immediately asked for his name. "My name is Zhang Fei," said the man, "and generations of my family have lived in Zhuo County. We own plenty of land here, and I myself make a living as a wine and meat seller. But what I like best is to meet and befriend heroes of the land. And that's why I spoke to you when I saw you sighing over the notice. I am of the same Liu family as Han royalty, and my name is Liu Bei. Today I heard of the Yellow Turban Rebellion, and although my greatest wish is to help restore peace to the land, I'm not fully equipped to do it, and that's why I stand here and sigh." Zhang Fei replied, "Well, if that is all, I have plenty of resources. In fact, I myself am trying to raise an army from our county. What do you say you and I do this together?" Liu Bei agreed most wholeheartedly, and the two men went into the tavern to talk over their plans. And as they huddled together over their bowls of wine, they saw a burly man rest his wheelbarrow against the front of the tavern. And then this man entered through the doorway and yelled, "Waiter, bring me some food and wine, for I'm going this minute to the city to volunteer for the army." Liu Bei took a closer look at this man. He was even bigger than Zhang Fei, standing 9 feet tall, and he had 2-foot-long sideburns. His face was the color of a date, and his lips red as rouge, and had eyes like a phoenix, and was altogether a man of striking and imposing appearance. Liu Bei at once invited him to his table and asked his name. The man replied, "My name is Guan Yu, and I'm originally from Hedong, and I killed a powerful man there who used his position to exploit the poor, and thus I had to escape. And I've been a Jianghu, wandering the land, for 5 or 6 years. Today, I happened to be here when I heard of the Yellow Turbans, so I'm heading out to join the army." Liu Bei told Guan Yu of his and Zhang Fei's mutual intentions, and Guan Yu was most delighted to hear this. They talked long into the night, and when the tavern closed, they removed themselves to Zhang Fei's house to discuss matters further. Zhang Fei said, "In the back of my house is a peach orchard, where the blossoms are just now blooming. What do you say that tomorrow we meet in the peach garden to make sacrifices to heaven and earth and declare ourselves blood brothers? We all have the same ambition, and this oath we take will bring us closer together in our plans." Liu Bei and Guan Yu approved the plan in one voice, and the next day, the three men met in the peach garden, with a black bull and a white horse as sacrificial animals. Lighting sticks of incense, the men made this vow: "We are Liu Bei, Guan Yu, and Zhang Fei. Though we do not share a surname, we vow to be brothers for life and to work towards the common goal of helping the destitute. We will bring honor to the heavens above and our families on earth. We did not ask heaven to be born on the same day, but we ask you now to grant us our wish that we should all die on the same day. And if any of us renounces this vow, may he be struck down by heaven." So they met in a taoyuan, a peach garden, and declared a jie, a sworn brotherhood. And upon the conclusion of this Taoyuan Jie ceremony, they became a sworn brotherhood of three heroes of the future Shu Han Kingdom, immortalized for eternity in the great classic novel Romance of the Three Kingdoms. After they had sworn this vow, the three men recognized each other as brothers, Liu Bei as the eldest, Guan Yu as the middle brother, and Zhang Fei as the youngest. And when the sacrifices had been made, they slaughtered another head of cattle and gathered 300 men in the peach garden to drink and feast. And the next day, they and their men gathered up their equipment and went to join the army to fight the Yellow Turban rebels. So this most famous section of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms can be used in instances that describe any band of people. It doesn't have to be three. And you don't have to be joining together to fight a massive peasant rebellion either. Any group of people who have common objectives and interests, who solemnly join together to fulfill a common goal, no matter to achieve an objective or to declare everlasting loyalty, can add a nice adult dose of gravitas and solemnity to their vow by hearkening back to this great moment in Chinese literature. The records of the Three Kingdoms, the San Guo Zhi, it doesn't specifically mention this Peach Garden incident, but it does say that the three men, Liu Bei, Zhang Fei, and Guan Yu, were as close as brothers. So this may or may not belong in the realm of Chinese historiography, but as far as Chinese culture, this story sits in the front row. And for any Three Kingdoms lovers and prospective lovers, don't forget to check out Mr. John Zhu's Three Kingdoms podcast. He helps you keep everything nice and orderly, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. And that is going to be that for this time. I thank you for listening. Let me send a well-deserved shout-out to Reliable Emma and all her little helpers at the Teacup Chengyu Yanqiu Zhongxin in the capital of the great nation of China. This is Laszlo Montgomery signing off from Los Angeles, California, as usual, inviting you to come back next time for another satisfying episode of the Chinese Sayings Podcast.